All right, fine. I'll be a gracious host. How you doing?
Little Mermaid is the scariest Disney movie by far, though.
Why the hell is Ace Blade in your Kickstarter?
Some comics. I'm getting controversial today. We're gonna get controversial today with
my proudest moment is this interview and being able to talk to you two.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Taurus Comics, in collaboration with Fourth Wall Production, respectfully brings to you the 91st episode of the Four Tales Podcast. I am your host, Kyron Silva from Taurus Comics. Across that way is the periwinkle pin of Ace Blade, Danny J. Quick. And together we are your two award-winning blurred comic creators here to help you find your next favorite comic. I'm also going to add, I am also a Ringo Award nominated creator now. I'm gonna add that in somehow, but we are live on the Agent of Geekdom Network via Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and TikTok. So if you're listening or watching us live, thank you for your support. But don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and review this podcast, because all your positive reviews and interactions help us reach a bigger audience. And if you want to maybe, you know, support us, you can go to our website, fourtalespodcast.com, buy some merchandise, you know, buy us a coffee, things like that to financially support us, because we're broke comic creators and we need money. Dennis, how you doing, man?
I'm trying to get there, man.
You are grinning. Like you're just from ear to ear right now.
I'm excited, man. Today's guest is one of my favorite people, one of my favorite artists. You posted your top five, you know, comic artists recently on the page, and I didn't see him in your top five. I don't know. Did you even post a top five?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, I know he's in mine. I know he's in my top five comic artists of all time. But before we get to the guests, how you been doing, man?
I've been all right. I've been creating things. I want to show you what you did, because a couple weeks ago, and I've been meaning to get to this like for a week or two, after the show, we were just goofing off and we were talking about a merger of our characters. Do you remember that? Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah. Ace Corps. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Ace Corps. We had Ace Corps. We had Starblade.
Starblade. Yeah.
Every damn time, Javon.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. You put together a little something for that.
I did. All right. So which one do you want to see first? Ace Corps or Starblade?
I got to see. Let me see Ace Corps first.
All right. Ace Corps is.
Okay.
So, you know, I kept your theme with the purple and everything.
Right,
had the little bandana, whatever it is you say you like, on his head. That's now an exhaust port of sorts. He has his,
got the blades on the arm. I love it.
Yeah.
That's right, fresh.
Justin,
okay.
Justin's in the chat saying, yo, what's up? What's up, Justin?
Good morning, right. Javon. Justin, good morning, y'all.
All right. So now we got, so it was Ace Corps. So we got Starblade, right?
Starblade. Oh man, I like Starblade, man. I like Starblade better. The energy swords.
Yeah,
that's right, so fresh, man.
So I'm like expecting that, these characters to show up in your book soon in Ace Blade 7.
Not in 7. 7 7's already done. We gotta wait. About 11 or 12.
Oh damn, got ways out there. 11 or
12. I've already written most of those. So.
You think we can get our guests to maybe do it in one of his books then?
Hey, maybe. Well, right. Let's see.
I mean, you two are best friends, so I mean, maybe you can talk to him.
No, I wouldn't. I would never use my relationships with any artist to get any favors.
That's a lie.
You know that's not true.
It's true, dude.
You especially.
William, what's up, brother?
What's going on? Right. Good morning.
You know, I usually introduce our guests, but I'm gonna let you do it because I know this is your best friend, your pinnacle of artistic ability.
I'll do it. I normally don't introduce our guests, but all I'm gonna do is this. Young ladies and gentlemen, y'all see what I got. Y'all see what I got. I got the Fatality cover. I got the Icon and Rocket. And of course, everybody on the planet probably has a Green Lantern 50 in their collection because of this young man right here. The Daryl Banks is in the building. Welcome to the show, young man. And we're happy to have you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. You can keep that young man coming. Yeah. Cover the gray hair. Don't look at the gray hair. I'm a young man.
I'm just saying, Just for Men has some you know, stuff, some products you can use. So. Not saying anybody on this side of the planet uses any, hey, but just saying.
I'm about to be right there with you. All this gray in my beard, I gotta do something to cover that up for sure.
So thank you. Danny did a terrible job, honestly. Daryl Banks,
because I don't do this.
Mentioned the guy's name. He was just like, "Hey, show. Look at this." teacher, artist, creator, Daryl Banks. Thank you for being on the show. So we try to encourage people that don't know our guests to maybe, you know, introduce themselves, give us a brief rundown of who you are and what you do. So we're gonna give you 30 seconds or so to do that for us.
Okay. 30 seconds. My name is Daryl Banks. I'm an illustrator from Columbus, Ohio, graduate of the Columbus College of Art and Design. I've been in the comics industry. I've been illustrating for about 34 years, done a host of different things, both in the comic industry and the commercial arts field, mainly known for my work at DC Comics, particularly on the character Green Lantern.
Particularly on Green Lantern. I want to say the first time I actually spoke to you was through one of your, I think Mike Watson was one of your students at Columbus, and he had Padawan, you on his show.
We're gonna call him the Padawan.
The young Padawan, Mike Watson, he had you on his show on Chat and Draw. And I said, this one time, you know, I got to reach out and say, hey, man, I would love to get me a variant cover by the Daryl Banks. If you can make that happen, you know, I want to see if I can do it. But Mike Watson was very happy to reach out to you, and you did an amazing job. I have the signed graded cover up on my wall in here nice. Right now. It's one of those in my collection that will never leave. So man, ever since then, I've always, you know, just wanted to follow you and give you your flowers because you do great work. So. Thank you for that. And he said, Javon said, I hope you overcharged that. I think it was very fair. The price was very fair. So
you only had to take out two loans for it.
And I'll be happy to pay it again. So thank you for doing that. And
my pleasure.
You know, it's great. Now we got to get you on. Now we got to get you to do StarCore. Now that Kyren is fusing our characters okay. now.
I saw those sketches, and you know the first one that you showed. What was his name?
This one was Ace Corps.
Yes, Ace Corps. That's kind of close to my wheelhouse. That almost has a Japanese kind of spin to it. You know, my favorite superheroes are Kamen Rider and Ultraman, and you know, kind of that side of the tracks. I'm like,
okay. We're gonna make it happen. We're gonna make it happen. So, how did you get into comics? I know we all talk about, you know, your illustrious career in comics, but were you a fan of comics? Were you reading comics before you started? Or was it just, hey, I'm an amazing artist. Why not do this?
I'm sorry. I'm tracking. I'm picturing myself going, I'm an amazing artist. So that's hilarious. That's the opposite.
Play. I should probably get paid for this. Somebody should pay me for this.
Oh, man. That's funny. See, first, the young man thing, and then now I'm an amazing artist, and therefore I should be. That's fun. So anyway,
Danny's just kissing butt so much today.
It's my one job.
I certainly did grow up. My first comics. Well, I didn't start on superhero comic. I mean, I always liked comics in one way or shape or form, starting with stuff like Archie comics and probably a lot of old school stuff you may not have heard of. Superhero stuff was more when I was probably middle school and never looked back. I mean, when I became attached to Spider-Man. It was Spider-Man and everybody else. You know, mm-hmm. superheroes were Spider-Man and everybody else. It's almost like when I think of kung fu movies, it's Bruce Lee and everybody else. You know, so yeah, growing up, loved comics, read them, collect them, traded them. Yeah, me and my friends, we used to try to make our own comics. You know, some of them I still have around here that I did in middle school. Of course, we never finished the stories, but you know, a lot of, for the most part, they were all derivative of existing characters, but with like a black spin on it. You know, it's like I had a character, Dino Man. He had super speed. He was just a Flash, but you know, but he was black. So that sort of thing. But as far as getting in the industry, it was something that I really seriously wanted to pursue. I'd say probably when I was a senior in high school, getting ready to start college. But I had no idea how to do it, no idea whatsoever. And I couldn't afford to do conventions, so I'd have to find one that would come to Columbus, Ohio. And that was how many? One.
Right.
And so it was just mainly just trying to find out how do you do it? You know, samples. Okay. I wasn't sure what a penciler even was, you know, like, oh, okay. So it's, you know, one artist does this and another artist takes, you know, it was piecing together. The internet hadn't been invented yet.
I'm that old. There was a time without the internet. What?
Time with no internet, no cell phones, no social media, cars. We just went like that with our feet. It was like
Flintstones.
That was so. But once my first published work was a small company out of West Virginia called Innovation, and the book was called Cyberpunk, and they needed someone that could do painted pages. Now I had no idea how to do it, but it was just an opportunity. I was like, yeah, I can do it. And I'm just saying to myself, now, how do I do this? But that was my first published work, and been trying to do it, you know, ever since.
Nice. I've been trying to find that book too, that the Cyberpunk book. I was looking on Amazon, seeing if I could find it. I gotta find me a copy of that book for sure.
Go to a comic shop or a flea market, look into a 25-cent bin or something like that.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm gonna run into one someday. But I think I heard you talking about your first, you know, work in comics and how you were piecing together, you know, how rough the pencil should be, and you know, giving it to an inker, and then, you know, having the editor be really the thing that that glued it together, and the importance of a good editor. I think in indie comics, it took me a long time to even realize that I needed an editor, but as soon as I got me a good one, as soon as I got one, I was like, I'll never do another book without having somebody besides me to be able to look over it and at least, you know, coordinate the parts. Can you speak to, you know, a good editor versus a bad editor and some of the things that they bring to a project?
I think a great editor is a leader. And I remember in the indie, because, you know, I did independent comics for half a decade before I did anything with DC Comics or Marvel or anybody like that. Mm-hmm. And so the smaller companies, usually almost 9.5 times out of 10, the writer was also the editor. Now, fortunately, one of the first really good writer/editors I work with, and actually today is his birthday, Mark Ellis, a great writer, a great concept person. I remember the second company I ever worked with was called Millennium, and they were good with securing licensed property characters. So one of the first worked on the Wild Wild West based on that old TV show. Mm. They also had the license to Doc Savage, Man of Bronze. And man, that was like a learning process. But what I'm getting at is that Mark was very good with coordinating other talents and also getting people to see an overall vision of where he wanted to go, not just with one title, but just as a company. I mean, they were small. They were at the time located in Florida, you know, they were able to keep, it's like a ball rolling, and then more things added to it. They'd get more licensed properties, more, you know, bigger name artists to do covers and that sort of thing. With DC, when I was on Green Lantern, my editor's name was Kevin Dooley. And Kevin not only was a great leader, but he's hilarious. He made hard work enjoyable. I still remember some conversations that when we were designing Kyle Rayner's costume, you know, remember this is mid 90s, Image Comics, all that, Spawn, you name it. You know, mm-hmm. the projected Kyle
pouches, packets.
They were just
built all kinds of stuff.
I mean, he was so over designed, and Kevin was like, we got to simplify this thing. I'm like, why? You know, I'm like, I wanted to have him. He was like, he said, after 22 pages, you will thank me that we kept this simple. And besides, we want the emphasis to be on the creation, not the suit. And so I reluctantly simplified it. And then, you know, we got what we see today. But having an editor that's able to get the writer and the artist on the same page, you know, like, for example, with Green Lantern, we had to be on the same page because there were major changes going on company-wide that, you know, they weren't playing around with. So we had to make sure we knew where we were going and what we wanted to establish. So having an editor, and in another instance, I guess the writer as well, but to me, an editor can be the bad guy in the situation. If somebody needs to let go or somebody needs to be replaced, it's like a coach. You know, it's Saturday. You will get some football analogies out of me. It's like having that coach. You might need to bench somebody. You might need to put somebody in. You know, in order to win. So, that's to me. That's my perspective on editors.
Hmm. Yeah, I love it.
I was just gonna keep letting you go. I know you just want to have a conversation.
I'm not gonna do it. I saw you wanted to ask some. Of course, I got more questions, but go ahead, Kyra.
Well, I was just gonna say because I mean you're definitely well known, but a lot of your stuff is well known for that run in the '90s or in early 2000s. And we always have this perception of how comics were like in the '90s. You know, there's always this idea that everybody was getting paid and money was flowing everywhere and books were flying off the shelves. I mean, can you give us a behind the scenes perspective of what it was really like for you as a creator in that time frame?
I just missed the big money, I feel. Because I kind of came in at 94. I mean, I would, I don't want to mention my name, but it was an anchor that used to work with Rob Liefeld. And he would tell me stories of what that was like in that studio and the amount of money. It sounds fictitious, but I've heard from multiple sources it was true. But like, you know, Image, they were, it was big money. And I'm talking about, can you imagine after, now you get paid for your job, imagine royalties in the amount of like 40 grand a month. I mean, people that, I mean, I missed all that.
just royalties.
Just the royalties. I mean, it was before that big bubble burst, but you had, I mean, comics were just selling like crazy, but then that was also during what they call the speculators market. You had people who had no idea about comics. They just heard they were valuable, and they were like, oh, I'll take, you know, 20 issues of this and 20 issues of that, just, you know, and I'll put my kids through college with these comic books, you know. And so it was spiking sales, but they weren't really collecting them. You know what I mean? You know, they were trying to treat it like an investment or something like that. But when I came in, it was almost like the tail end of it. Sales were doing great. Don't get me wrong. But as far as that what I call that crazy money, I feel like I just missed it. Like, just by this much. But yeah, I mean, my first Green Lantern royalties, you know, I mean, I used to work at Marshall. So, I mean, anything I made was going to be bigger than, you know, than what I was used to. But yeah, what you'd heard about how sales were in the '90s. Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Danny. I know you're burning to talk. Just go.
No, so I mean, okay. Just so go. We talked before we got started. We were talking about creator-owned projects, and I know you have a couple of creator-owned projects or indie books that are coming out. I saw your Riot Earp that we talked about on Kickstarter that I just missed. I don't know how I missed it, but there we go. And so can you tell us the difference of working for, you know, one of the big three and doing some, you know, creator owned projects? Is the process is I would imagine the process is similar, but the marketing for these kind of projects is a little different.
Well, I mean, specifically, I'm Riot Earp is not owned by me in any way. I'm hired to work with them just like I was with DC. So I've actually never created anything myself that I own. I've had, I have equity in things. I mean, for example, you held up a Green Lantern with Fatality on it. Fatality appeared in some video game or something. I don't even know what game it was, but I got a payment because she appeared in that. I'm like, oh, okay. So that's cool. I don't even know what game it was, which is kind of funny because I used to be a big gamer. I mean, I used to blow deadlines because I was gaming too much. But back in the day,
I think we all have at least one.
It got bad because, that's a whole nother topic. Anyway, I have equity in characters, but they're not mine. You know what I mean? For example, like Danny, what you're doing is that's your character. You know, if they do, you know, Ace Blade the movie, that's money going in your pocket. You know, whereas the stuff that I've done, it's done for someone. So Riot Earp is more like, you know, hired to do it, just like the work I do for DC. You know what I mean, one of the biggest differences with Kickstarter is it will take over your social media. It's like you got to promote it some more. And fortunately, you know, the company, even though they're up and coming, they're well organized, they're well funded. But I think if we could get the word out more, I think if they developed a website, or I don't know what their vision is. But see, the thing is, Strider Norland Media, they've been around a long time doing like prose novels and, you know, books and that sort of thing, and they've just recently expanded into comics. So. But working with them was great. I certainly enjoy my work with them. I'm working on something for them right now. It's actually a 80s horror story. So I would post more, but I always, whenever I'm working on something that isn't published, I always wait for the publisher to post things. That way I don't get in trouble. Mm-hmm. But if you follow Michael Katz on Twitter, he would post a panel or two here and there. Because it's the story centers on this creature. It's the legend of the Wendigo, you know, the Native American legend. Oh, it centers on that. And so I think he had posted a panel I did that shows like a glimpse of the creature. I thought, well, there's so many things I would love to share, but I'll let them do it. Because here's the thing is, you never want to put stuff out there and the company doesn't know it, because you don't know that even if they're okay with it, still, you want to make sure it's clear, it's cool with them, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's Strider Norland. I did see that they have a website. They got a WordPress site. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they're over on Twitter, X, or whatever they call it now.
The kids are
called. so that's you know, it's good. But I wonder, do you have any aspirations to put out your own creator? You know, your creator own project,
because I know some people
who, you know, would be happy to see that and would support it, and I know some people would be willing to help you out with something like that if you need it.
I appreciate that. I really can't think of anything that I've created myself where I want to publish it. You know, I would like to do more sketchbooks of my behind the scenes stuff. I mean, I have a grand total of one sketchbook, and that was with when I did the Kickstarter for what was it called? Harkins Raiders. It was a World War II story. The company that did it, any book that they have a successful Kickstarter, the artist gets a sketchbook. So if I have one of those around here.
The graphic novel. I remember that.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, let me see if I can highlight you so you can see it better.
Yeah, that is nice.
Anyway,
let me add it to the shopping list.
And you can see it in the image there, that Kamen Rider theme that you said you enjoyed so much. You can see it sort of in there, that Ultraman look. So I like that.
Oh, the character on the cover, that was the one thing is that the company's had everybody from Jim Starlin and Bart Sears, you know, doing the, they call them black books, their sketchbook. But the one thing is they can't have a copyrighted character on the cover. And I'm thinking, Mm-hmm. Like I don't have my own character, so I just hastily thought I'll take a character I came up with when I was in college, and yeah, he was like an Ultraman character. Name was Cyberforce, and so I'm like, okay, I'll just draw that guy. Except I think I tweaked the costume because it was a lot simpler from the original sketches. I found a box of old sketches. I'm like, I'll draw him. You know, it's like he's not copyrighted or anything. So
I love it. I want to ask. I go ahead, Cairo.
Go, dude. Don't just go. Cause see, when I get my best friend creator on, I'm gonna be the same way. So just go.
Okay, all right. So I saw that you posted. I want to say you've been married 20 years now. 25 years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations to that. And I know me and my wife, we've been married 17 and coming up on 18 years.
Congratulations.
And, you know, we both run businesses. You know, I got the comics. She's got a hair salon next door.
Oh, awesome. You know, I work a full time job. Don't just say this to comics.
I got four job men. No, but, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, that work life balance thing is always a issue. You know, we try to focus on each other, you know, when we can, you know, just say, okay, this week, you know, we took the kids to Disney during the summer and, you know, things like that, and really focus on each other when we can really spend time together. But how do you balance, you know, work and life when you're traveling, you know, doing these shows and you're always working on these comics? Are there any tips that you can give us who aren't quite to 25 years for something like that?
Oh, we're doing a marriage.
I don't know how this conversation shifted to marriage, show. But whatever.
This is a relationship show.
Well, yeah, I'm here
it's
for
a
it.
Weird relationship show.
I would say, I mean, my wife is literally my best friend. You ever heard the expression, well, she should be your best friend. But for me, she really is. That's why we got married. It was like we were such good friends and it went to that next level. The funny thing is, she's not into comics. She's not into toys, none of that stuff.
Sounds like my wife, honestly.
But she'll go with me to the superhero movies, that sort of thing. But it's not really her thing. Now, we met at church. And so our bond is our faith. But as far as she's always been supportive, and after the pandemic, she has to work from home. So she's here with me, you know, more often than not than used to be. And of course, that's only in the last 2 years or so. But the thing is, Dan, you mentioned you took the kids to Disney. Did you go to Disneyland or Disney World?
In Florida, in Disney World.
Okay, I was about to say, we went to Disneyland this summer. I'm like, oh, I could have seen you there. But no, we went to Disneyland.
No, you would have known it if you had saw Danny. He would have made sure that he got Daryl! Tiana be like, Danny, don't get off the ride. No, but that's Daryl Banks down there.
But yeah, being able to balance things is so important, you know, date night things and that sort of thing. But I think it comes down to making sure you're on the same page. Almost the same dynamic I mentioned about editors is don't assume things. It's just ask, you know, communication, you know. I remember, you know, when we were just dating before that was really, it was gelling. You know how women can be like, what's wrong? Nothing. You're all right? I'm fine. Don't drop it. You know, find out what it is, you know. And then after a while, you know, it'll go away because you'll know, you know. Same with kids. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, your people, friends, children, spouses, when you know them, you know them. You know what I mean? It's kind of like it could just be a body language, facial expression. I mean, even if they're smiling, you know. I mean, because it's on a deeper level. You know, you know your people. You know what I mean? And the key is being able to, if you understand them, you know, it's part of why we love them, you know. I could keep going on that, like they probably want to talk about other stuff, but you know, that's something that's important to me. You know,
no, this is Danny's show now, so he wants to talk about it.
I mean, I think about last year at Cincinnati, both my wife and my daughter were able to come and visit. I mean, that's a rarity. They've only done it a couple times ever. And I had the show was just so great for me because I could look over and there's my family with me. You know, now I have a stepson, but he lives in L.A. But, you know, I see him whenever we can. Like, we went to visit him this summer. But other than that, you know, that's my nuclear family, you know, my wife, my daughter, you know, so.
Yeah. Javon has a great.
Javon has the title to your next book, Marriage Advice You Can Take to the Banks. Thanks. There we go.
I was just going to call one best part, the love of comics, but Javon just killed
it. We got to do this and have Javon on here so all four of us can just, you know.
Absolutely.
Danny's already taken up enough time. Javon. We don't need one other person. Oh, Danny.
Javon might be.
Wait, Danny. On TikTok, C Comics said his comics came in.
Oh, awesome. 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 That's good. That's good. Okay. I think I got all of my questions out.
No,
I
had you got more notes
down here. I do have more, but we'll save them for quick takes. We'll save them for the quick takes for sure.
All right. Well, are you ready to do quick takes? Is that what's going on?
Oh, it's up to you.
It's about that time. So, this is your show today. We've already established that. This is all.
All right, let's do it. I'm ready. All right. Quick takes. You know, I realize I have that. I have one of those Kyle Rayner statues that's in the promo image there.
Oh, you have?
I have one of those statues. I'm gonna have to bring it. I know we talked about skipping shows before. Please don't skip Heroes Con because I look forward to seeing you every year.
They asked me. There was a problem with, you know, when you sign in your hotel, you got to secure your credit card or whatever. And I guess the system was messed up and they overcharged me, and they finally got it straightened out. And they were like, "Well, we'll make sure that that's not a problem next year." And I said, "Okay, fine." I said, "Can we take that to mean you want to come back next year?" Now they don't know. That's one of my top 3 shows of all time. It's kind of like you don't have to twist my arm to do Heroes.
All time?
Oh yeah, Heroes is great.
Heroes is a great show, Kyra.
I call Heroes is comic book Wakanda. It's just the guest list, it's a who's who, but it's the atmosphere, you know.
All right. I'm gonna pull Javon again. At Heroes Con, if you listen in, you want to pay for my ticket and my table or my ticket and my housing. I'm willing to come out,
Kyron. I'm gonna get you there next year. This time, summer next year, I'm gonna work to get you to Heroes Con. All right, go. We got Javon there last year, so Javon got himself there, but
next year I got a shorter distance for Javon than it is for me, though.
It is, but it's okay. All right, so quick take,
Kyron. Where do you live?
California.
You're Sacramento.
Sacramento.
And Danny, you're here in Columbus, right?
No, I'm in North Carolina.
I think I've seen you here so many times. I thought you lived here. because we have GalaxyCon coming up in December. I'm like, oh, he'll probably be there. I'm like, I don't think he lives here, but I seem like I've seen you. I don't know. Anyway,
I've seen you at several shows. I'll just say I've seen you at several shows.
That's called stalking to some people.
It's only stalking if it's more than six shows out of the month. I checked the bylaws. Okay.
That's scary. Javon, what? I'll be willing to room with you as long as you don't have like a CPAP machine, because I got to get my sleep and those things are loud. So I'm willing to room with you, Javon.
CPAP will save your life. Okay, quick takes.
Okay, quick.
If you haven't seen the show before, quick takes is a rapid Q&A session with our guests. I didn't have to stalk your social media because I stalk you in real life, but we'll give you 45 seconds to answer 5 questions. Okay. You get 45 seconds each, and we'll see how it goes.
Can I phone a friend or any of that stuff?
You can phone Javon.
If you need to. You can. That's all.
Can I Google?
Okay. Question number 1.
Okay.
In an alternate universe, what would Daryl Banks be doing with his life if he wasn't a comic book artist?
I'd be an actor.
Mm. Okay.
Now he had that, like, ready to go.
I thought about it.
All right. When we get the Ace Blade film, I'm going to get you for a cameo. All right, cool.
Wait, what kind of actor are we talking about? Like serious roles, comedy, action? What are we talking about?
I'm versatile, just like my drawing. I would be probably be a character actor. I'd probably be that guy that'd be like, I know him. He played the granddad on that one show. You know, he was always giving advice and people didn't listen to. He was in that. I would be that guy. You know.
I love it. I love it. See, I didn't know that. I didn't know you wanted to do acting. That's amazing.
My mind. Okay. That's what I want to do. You said an alternate.
In the alternate universe. alternate universe. Okay.
Javon, I hope my wife loves me as much also.
y'all shut up. How about that? How about y'all shut it up? Okay. Question number two. I heard you on another interview talking about how your students kind of introduced you to Photoshop. You know, you had some students and they were always like, take it into Photoshop. And you were like, what is Photoshop?
we didn't even get to his teaching aspect, but man.
Yeah. There's so much. Question number two is traditional versus digital. What are the strengths and weaknesses and which one do you prefer?
With the majority of my work is digital. And that's for speed and expedience. When you have, especially in commercial art, when there's changes to be made, back when I was all analog, that was something that could take days as opposed to something I could hold my breath, fix, and resend. That's it. Now, obviously, with like conventions, like con sketches, that sort of thing, well, you know, it's got to be traditional. But, you know, over 90% of what I do is digital for that reason.
That speed is absolutely crucial, especially in today's
do stuff. That's the faster you get paid. So
that's true. Okay. Question number three, and this one sprouts because I saw Marcus Williams at Heroes Con last year. Mm-hmm. And when I walked up to his table, there was a young lady giving a very detailed description of her cat because she was trying to get him to draw her pet as a superhero and she didn't have a picture. Okay. And it was just the strangest conversation I'd ever heard. So I want to know, what is your strangest con encounter?
Ooh. If it was really strange, I probably made it a point to forget it. I've had cool encounters. Strange. How about ironic? Mm-hmm. Some of my most ironic encounters were when people would talk about how my work was like the first comics they ever read, or how my comics helped them during a tough time. And the reason that's ironic is that that's what comics were to me growing up. You know, issues, you know, tough times as a kid, my parents divorced, that sort of thing. Reading comics was an escape for me. So hearing someone say that to me, almost like it's coming full circle, that's just one of those, wow, I never thought that I would be on the other side of that. You know, it's one of those things where it's taken some getting used to, you know.
For sure. Yeah, you never do know how much your work impacts people. And it's always surprising. Okay. Question number four. You mentioned going to Disney for the summer, and I saw you posted a picture in front of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Explain. Just give us how does it feel to see like the things that you're a fan of in real life like that? Because I took my kids to Disney, and my son made me buy him a light. I didn't even know he liked Star Wars, but he pouted and pouted until I got him a custom lightsaber. And I was like, yo, these kids really, really do enjoy these things. And they feel the way we do about it. So how did you feel being at Disney and being able to see Star Wars in real life like that?
Honestly, because we went during 4th of July. And in retrospect, I don't recommend air travel during 4th of July. But we found that. But we still had a great time. Really, because we worked so much, we could have been doing anything, you know. So just add to it that it was Star Wars theme, but we were on vacation. You know, we could have been watching basket weaving. It was like, we're on vacation. You know what I mean? So
right.
they went to another level seeing all the, it's just the amount of excellence they put into these Star Wars themed rides and the Marvel stuff. It was something else. It'd be easier to show you than to tell you. Go and see. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I was the one at Disney World was absolutely fantastic, and it surprised me, like the level of detail that they have, like the vendors and all that stuff. I know it's all about, hey, we want you to buy something, but I definitely bought some stuff. So
the funny thing is, even the restaurants, because it looked like, you know, mm-hmm. I remember my wife was like, can't they just call it mac and cheese? It's like they had this after Star Wars. I'm like, well, what is that? I'm like, and I'm sitting there looking at the picture. Well, I think that's actually this or that. It feels like you're in the movie. I mean, they went all out. They were not.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I just remember one of the menus at one of the restaurants we went to in the Star Wars land or whatever. And it was like, oh, okay, that looks like, you know, chicken parmesan, I guess, and that looks like, but it's not called that. You know, it's got some kind of Star Wars name or whatever. You know,
I don't know if they have the Pandora at Disneyland, but in Florida, and that was the highlight of my wife's trip, is eating at the Pandora restaurant, because they had like the blue and purple noodles in the food. Like it was like you say, a regular food, but it looked like you were, you know, it looked like something that you would eat if you were in the movie. So that was one of her. It was one of her highlights of the trip. So I'm with you on that. Okay.
Did you did you try the blue milk while you were there?
No blue milk. It was as hot as it was. Any kind of milk would have been a bad idea. Like the movie Anchorman. Like, oh, it's so hot.
Right.
Milk was a bad idea. Yeah, that would have been a bad idea.
Yeah. I was not impressed when I had it. I was like, this is not that good, honestly. It's a weird texture, so.
That's probably terrible. Okay. Last but not least, question number 5. The show that I have with Morgan and Javon, and Kyron sometimes, the other show, is called Top 5 Live. So I always try to get our guests to do a top 5 list off the top of their head for question number 5. Okay. So I want to know, and you cannot plead the fifth. You cannot say they're all my favorites.
Uh-oh.
I want to know your top 5 Green Lanterns.
Top 5 Green Lanterns. Number 1, Kyle Rayner, for obvious reasons.
Yes.
Number 2, Hal Jordan, for obvious reasons. Number 3, John Stewart, because he's the Black Green Lantern. And Bill Lamar did an awesome job on the cartoon. Number 4, Kilowog, because, you know, he's awesome. Number 5, Guy Gardner.
Okay. All right. All right. That's a good list. That's a solid list.
Yeah, that's the core.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Kyron, you can have your show back now. I've done everything that I've come to do today.
I see the question. William Withers says, Wacom or iPad Pro? Both. Although I'll sketch on my iPad, but my work, you know, when I'm actually, you know, doing it, is my Cintiq, my Wacom Cintiq.
William is actually doing the next issue of Ace Blade. The next 3 issues, Ace Blade 7, 8, 9, or 8, 9, and 10. So
great.
He's been sending in some great pages.
Young man, he's doing artwork on it.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, he is.
All right, we didn't know that. I don't know.
I hadn't been telling people because we hadn't promoted it yet, but he's killing the game right now. So, absolutely. Well, thank you for doing that for us.
Oh, no.
Quick Takes does not have a sponsor this week, do we? Do we got a sponsor this week, Kyron?
That's your job.
Quick Takes sponsored by. No, that's it.
Sponsored by nothing. Ace Blade Comics.
Ace Blade Comics. Okay.
Oh, I feel like we need to have Daryl back on the show again in the future. There was so much we didn't even get.
Dang. There we go.
I need to get my pop now? Is that what everybody's showing a pop? Is that what I need to get my pop?
That's what we're doing now.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. All right. But I feel like we need to have Mr. Banks on the show again, just because there was a lot of his career we didn't even get to in this short amount of time.
Yeah, that means I got to come back on again.
Yeah, exactly. We'll try to figure out another time for you to be on. But we do want to thank you for being here. This has been This has been Danny's best show ever. I can tell that this is the best and the most fun he's ever had. But
I can quit now. I'm done.
You better not quit, Danny.
You better. Let me just interject real quick. It's great because the industry, I feel, has changed so much. When I first got in, there weren't that many Black creators that I felt like I had access to. And now that we have more Black creators, we've got more, you know, things like internet access. You never know who you're inspiring. Because as we get older, you know, I'm thinking, someone's going to come up to you and say, Ace Blade was the first comic I ever read. And now I'm inspired to do my own. So you shake your head, you're probably like, can I pick that? That's what I thought. But see, you never know whose life you will inspire. It doesn't always have to be big and spectacular. It could be little things. I was at a show once, and a guy came up to me. I want to say I was at a show in Maryland, I think. And a guy goes, he shook my hand and said, "You don't know me. We met when I was real little, and you were telling me to continue drawing." And he said, he came from a neighborhood that was very, you know, gangs were a big problem, and to the point where it was almost drawing him in. But because he had art to fall back on, he stayed out of gangs. And he was thanking me for that. I said, don't thank me. You made that decision. You know, you decided that you wanted to pursue art. I appreciate that I could inspire and motivate, but the decision was ultimately yours. So what I'm getting at is we're doing comics that seem like, oh, it's just entertainment. Hey, when I was growing up, and even really still now, it's still an influential thing. So having positivity in this realm of comics, especially with Black men, is very important. Very important. Very important.
No, Danny's always inspiring people. Like Sleek Comics and TikTok said he wants to be like Danny when he grows up. So
see, you know. It's already started.
I just want to be.
I did have somebody tell me they named their dog Ace after Ace Blade, so that was kind of cool. I love that kind of stuff. All right, it's time to go. It's time to go. I'm sure I'm going to see you at a convention between now and next year sometime.
Oh, I'll be at
it. Before we go, absolutely. Is there anything else that you want to tell the people? Any words of encouragement? Any thing that you want to promote? And also tell us where people can find you online.
Online, I'm on Twitter. Yeah, I still call it Twitter. I'm on Instagram and sometimes Facebook, but very rarely. But you can always find me on Twitter. That's probably where I'm on the most. As far as what I'm working on, like I mentioned, I'm working on a horror graphic novel for Strider Nolan Media, and I also do covers for DC, kind of like this one. This was a recent one, Icon and Hardware variant cover, that sort of thing, and conventions here and there. I'll be at my next convention, GalaxyCon in Columbus, Ohio, in December.
I do want to let everybody know, because he didn't mention this, if you want to find Daryl on Twitter, it's at Real Bankster, and if you want to check him out on Instagram, it's GL Prime. So
GL Prime. Thank you.
Don't look for those copycat ones. Get the original one. Get the best one. All right. Danny, where can people find you? Check you out.
If you want to find me, the best place to go is our website, fourthwallpros.com. If you want to find me on social media, it's at the Ace Blade on all social media platforms. Kyren, where can people find you, my friend?
Apparently, you can find me at Heroes Con next year, from what it sounds like. Between then and now, you can find me at TaurusComics.com. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Taurus Comics, and on TikTok at Taurus Comics. And if this is your first time checking out our podcast, you can go to our website, 4talespodcast.com. That's the number 4, T-A-L-E-S, podcast.com. Listen to our previous episodes. Like we said, support us, you know, buy some merchandise, things like that. But join us next week. We're going to have a returning guest again. This is a theme, apparently. We're going to have Jermail Lissay. He wants to come back because Danny wasn't here the last time. So he said he had to come back. You're acting like that's not really what is happening here.
It's not. That's not.
No, why. No. Literally, he said, hey, when's Danny going to be here? And I said, I don't know. And he said, all right, I want to be back when Danny's here. So
we're going to be here next week for sure.
All right. But Everybody come back next week, same time. We're going to have a great time. But until then, sayonara, goodbye, and please take care of yourselves.
Thank you. I want to know what it is Quick is trying to say.